Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is your host, Minister Arthur Burgess III, and you are on the Healing Hour. And this is PKN Network, Purpose Kingdom Network. And you are on blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. I need y'all to call in today. Let's call in 319-527-6091. That is 319-527-6091. And don't forget to press #1. I thank God and I bless God just to be out here and just talk with you and have a real conversation with you on this evening. And I'm by myself. And I like when I get you guys all to myself. Normally I have guests, I have people calling in, and we're talking and we're interviewing and we're sharing the goodness of God. But I get to be a little stingy, I get to be a little selfish, and you're all mine for this evening. And I do want to give a special shout out. Last night, Dominique Hudson, did an amazing show last night. She did an amazing show last night, and I definitely just want to give her a shout out and really just show her some love, because last night was a really, I'm talking about, epic show. And I just want to get another shout out on Tuesday. Man, Tuesday's show was phenomenal, and that's by Minister Arthenius, and I definitely want to show her some love too. I mean, listen, if y'all are not listening to PKN every evening, you are missing out. I mean, every evening, you are missing out. The hosts are blessed by God. The hosts are anointed. There's always a fresh word. There's always a new word. There's always something new and exciting to learn. Make sure you tune in to Purpose Kingdom Network. And, you know, I may be a little biased depending on who's the host. But I love them all. I thank God for them all. And I just want you guys to understand that every day you can get a word from God. And you don't need to wait till your weekly service or wait till your weekly study. You can get a word from God every night on Purpose Kingdom Network. And, you know, just now, I want you guys to understand that this is the 999th episode. I get the privilege to have you guys on the 999th episode. And tomorrow is the 1,000th episode of PKN. And we are going to celebrate tomorrow. We're going to celebrate big. I'm telling you, you do not want to miss tomorrow's episode, the 1,000th episode. We are celebrating. We are celebrating because God has given a fresh word 1,000 times. And I don't know about you, But it's something that's imperative, but it's also something amazing because you have hosts who have been praying, who have been fasting, who have been studying just to give you a word every day of the week. And I'm telling you, those words do not come easy. Those moments, those conversations, they are well thought out of. They are well prepared. They are prayed for. They are anointed over. They are sometimes suffered for. And those words are actually personal experiences that have touched our lives. And you have no idea what each host have gone through before they delivered a message to you. So I ask you, just, you know, on your spare time or on your time, pray for our hosts. Pray for the visionary of PKN, that is Pastor Toy. Pray for, you know, our sound man, Brother Rob, who was always with us, who was always engaged and always, you know, available. Even when he messed up the last time I did my show that I said I wasn't going to say nothing about, but I had to this time. And I'm just glad for him. I thank God for him, and I praise God for him because he's always diligent, always hardworking. And we have to keep everybody in mind who is diligently working with a network, with a vision to serve the people of God. You know, a lot of people want to preach, but there's very few of us who are willing to serve. And a lot of people want to sound good on a microphone and sound great on the airwaves, but we have an idea, we have a mentality of service, and I'm telling you, you don't want to miss tomorrow's episode, the 1,000th episode. All right, let's get into the word. I feel like we got to hurry up and jump into the word because I got something prepared, and it's really something that it was a sermon that turned into a Bible study lesson that I, you know, I just felt like I had to share it with you guys this evening. The one thing about me that I love is I love the fact that the Bible is not just a book of stories, a book of, written situations or scenarios. It is a book of history. And I love biblical history. I love biblical history because, you know, it literally picks up from the beginning of time until present day in one book. And it carries us out from the beginning of time historically, not just a book of made-up stories that sound good throughout the ages, but it literally gave a full description of the time then and the time now. And if we really study our Bibles, our Bible will relate to present day circumstances, and it will have present day knowledge within a book that was written over 2,000 years ago. And that's what's so amazing about the Bible, is that even though the words have changed, I mean, it will never change, the dialogue will never change, the stories will never change, the mentality or the perception of those stories evolve every time we read them. And a lot of it isn't that the Bible evolves, is that the word in us grows as we begin to constantly think about it or read them or dwell on them or seek them. We grow with the word, and the word grows with us. And that blows my mind. So I have a story that I guarantee you all of us have heard. All of us have heard. And this topic tonight is called the Jonah Experience. And everybody has heard the story of Jonah. Everybody has heard about the fish and him being inside of a fish for 3 days and 3 nights, and he finally got outside of the fish, and he preached to Nineveh, and Nineveh got saved, and everything was okay. And they tell this story, and a lot of people tell it because they equate Jonah with a story about running away from purpose, running away from destiny, being a part of, not dwelling or not following the plan that has been written out for your life. But like, what if I told you that wasn't the case? What if I told you that this story was way bigger than purpose? It was way bigger than, you know, following your destiny and not running away from the plan that God has for your life. I just want to challenge your thinking, and I want you to understand this story was way bigger than that. This story was about, you know what, I can't even, you know, we're not even going to go there. We're going to wait. Because I want to show you historically how this story is set up. Now, God called Jonah to preach to a city called Nineveh. A lot of people don't know that Nineveh is the capital of a country called Assyria. And Assyria captured or took over the tribes of Judah and captured them and made them slaves. And it was recorded all the way in the book of Hosea. So we're talking about a few generations before Jonah, Hosea was also a captive of Assyria. Let's go to the Bible. Let's check it out. I'm not going to tell you nothing about showing you in the Bible. Hosea 9. Hosea 9. And that's 1. And then we're going to read 1 through 4. Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people, for thou hast gone a whoring from thy God. Thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. The floor and the wine press shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. They shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. They shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord, neither shall they be pleasing unto him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. All that eat thereof shall be polluted, for their bread, for their soul, shall not come into the house of the Lord. So basically, God punished Israel for going after other gods and for seeking other gods. So what he did was, he says, because you sought after other gods, the land that you conquered, I'm going to give it back to Egypt, and I'm going to allow Assyria to overthrow you. And the offerings that you used to give, I'm no longer accepting those offerings. Now, that's a heavy punishment to deal with, because you wanted to chase after other gods. But God says, I am a jealous God. You should not have any other gods before me. So if God says he's jealous and you shouldn't have any other gods before him, nor serve them, then when he decides to bring forth judgment because you served another god, you shouldn't be surprised. And guess what, guys? I'm going to tell you this, and I'm jumping ahead, but I'm going to tell you this. Idolatry is not always a golden statue or a religion that is broadcasted. Idolatry is so much simpler than what we imagine it. Idolatry is anything that you put over God. And I just want to keep that in mind. Anything that you put over God. Because I'm going to go right back to idolatry. I'm going to go right back to putting things over God. And when we go back to it, I guarantee you, you'll understand why idol worship, why idolatry is so big in this story of Jonah. So let's look to the word. Now we understand our history lesson. We understand that Assyria took over the children of Israel, and Egypt was able to conquer the land that the children of Israel took from Egypt. So Egypt has their land back, and Assyria has the land, has the children of Israel. Now let's go forward. Jonah was called to preach to Nineveh. He was called to go to Nineveh and pass judgment on Nineveh for idol worship. So Jonah was called to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria. When people tell the story of Jonah, they make it seem like he was going to a new land that was full of idolatry, that was full of idol worship. The reality is, Jonah wasn't going to a land to give the judgment of God. He was going back to a land. Jonah was going back to a place where he felt enslaved, where he felt less of a person, where he felt like he wasn't important, where he was less of a man. He was going back to a place that hurt him. A lot of people think that he was just going to a new land. No, he was going back. Why was he going back? Because Nineveh is the capital of Assyria. So he was going back to the most important city in an area where he was a slave. Have any of us ever had to go back somewhere that hurt us? Had to go back to a person that hurt us? Had to go back to a house or a circumstance or a place that hurt us? So Jonah was never running away because he was scared of what was happening new. He was running away from what he already experienced. Sometimes we are okay with handling a new situation. We tough it out, we manage, we learn how to deal with a new problem. We're not always good with handling the same problem again. We're not always willing to go back to what hurt us, even if we got the victory over that thing. Because what we do is we remember the battle scars. We remember the wounds. We remember the hurt that came with conquering that thing the first time. We remember having to overcome the people that hurt us. And we beat the abuse that came with the pain, and we overcame the mentality that came with the area, and now God is saying, go back. Go back. Because I want you to send a word to them. And Jonah could have been okay with what he had to do because God wanted him to give a word of judgment. God wanted to destroy. God told him that he was going to send him there to pass a word of destroying that city because of their disobedience, because of their idolatry. God wanted him to send a word of judgment. And instead of going back to Nineveh, he decided to run away. In the process of running away, he decided to get on a ship. And everything was fine. But while going on shore, there was a big storm that decided to wreck it. They almost wrecked the boat, and there were other lives in danger. And Jonah realized that as long as he was on the boat, the storm was going to ruin everybody else. Can I share something like real cool with you guys? I know that we live in a time where a lot of people say things like, I don't want negative people around me. I don't want to be bothered with, this negative energy and all that, and terms like that. And I need us as believers to be very careful about the terminology that we use, because when we say things like positive energy, negative energy, when we say things like universe, those are theories. There's a universal theory, and that is a form of worship. And when we begin to talk like them and use their terminology, we begin to think like them. So, you know, when it says energy, energy is another word for spirit. And if we're not careful, just because it seems positive does not mean it's of God. And just because it seems negative does not mean it's not God. So we have to be careful about our language. We have to be careful about our verbiage. Because when we adopt a philosophy of another theory, we take on that philosophy. So let's be careful about when we start talking about, you know, it's the universe. The church is using a lot of these terms, positive vibes from the universe and good energy and positive energy and negative energy, and I felt your energy. That's another word for spirit, and we need to be careful that we recognize that when we talk like them, you know, we become them. You know, we have to be careful because it can corrupt our good behavior. That's what the word says. We don't want to allow, you know, the influence of others to corrupt good manners. All right? So here, Jonah realized that his disobedience puts other people in danger. And guess what, guys? I just wanted you to know, when you walk outside of the will of God, when you walk outside the purpose of God, and when you disobey, regardless of the circumstance, your sin does not just affect you, it affects the people around you. And I know people think that it's an isolated incident and that it's about you and you're the only one going through with it. But let me tell you, when you are dealing with something and you are walking in a place of disobedience, it does not just affect you. It affects everyone around you. If an alcoholic or an addict is using what they're willing to do to feed their substance and their abuse and their addiction, it also weighs on the family that they have. So they're not just hurting themselves, they're hurting the people that they love as well. So guess what? Sin does the same thing. Bible says, after sin comes death. And there's so many things that die off when we're not walking in the will of God. So Jonah realized that his disobedience was hurting everyone else. So now he said, okay, I understand what's happening with me. If you throw me overboard, then you'll be okay. You will never have to remove yourself from negative people. Negative people remove themselves from you. If you keep being the light that God has called you to be, whatever is bothering you, it will either work itself out or you will be removed. Or you will be removed from the situation. Because you can't talk about God being the light of the world, God being the center of your life around people who don't share the same feelings or the same ideas as you. Eventually, they'll stop being around you. Because they don't want to hear that. You keep talking about how Jesus saved your life around a group of people who don't want to hear about Jesus. All of a sudden, When y'all used to hang out every weekend, you'll realize that they stopped hanging around so much. So you never have to worry about removing yourself from negativity. Negativity will remove itself from you. And if it doesn't, it doesn't mean that it has a stronghold over you. What it means is, you were called to minister to that darkness. I hear it all the time. People talk about, you know, I need to remove myself from negative things and negative people. So many posts and memes and social media tags and all these people talk about, get yourself away from so much negativity and negative people. You need to be around people that's positive and that's going to sow seeds into your life. Let me tell you something. If you remove yourself from everything negative, who are you going to preach to? Who are you going to minister to? How are you going to be the light of the world if you're not in if you're not in the midst of darkness? How are you going to be the person that that God called you to be if you're not willing to go into a dark situation? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. How can you go to a valley of the shadow of death if you're not willing to step into darkness? Guess what, y'all? We were called to be the light of the world. The only way you can be a light is this area that's dark. So we can't avoid negative or dark circumstances. We have to be prepared for them. Jonah tried to run away from a circumstance. And it wasn't a circumstance that was new. It was a circumstance that hurt him before. And I just believe that somebody is listening right now and God is calling them back to something. God is calling back to the abuser, calling them back to the family that hurt them, calling them back to the job or the area that disrespected them or used them, calling them back to the circumstance that once hurt them. And God is calling a lot of us back. And we have to not only be prepared to go forward, but we have to prepare to go backwards too. So Jonah gets thrown overboard. He gets caught into this fish. And then he's there for 3 days and 3 nights. And he finally decides to answer the call. He finally decides to do what God has called him to do and told him to do. And he goes in to Nineveh. And Nineveh listens to the word that Jonah is preaching. The entire city gets saved. I'm talking about everybody. It was so powerful that the king declared that this was the land of God. Now, I'm going to show you how he did it. A lot of people don't know this. The Assyria worshipped a fish god. This was a port city. They relied on sea and ships and docking and port to flourish. This was a port city. And they worship a god called Dagon, who just so happened to be half fish, half man. I want you to watch this because this is not just biblical, this is historical. The actual god Dagon exists, and they have pictures of the god Dagon as half man, half fish. Dagon was a real idol entity to Assyria, to Nineveh. And it's amazing that he was trapped in a large fish. And the fish came on the shores of Nineveh. And when the fish opened its mouth, a man came out. Nineveh saw the god that they worshiped in real life form. And when they saw it, the voice that they heard was not of the teachings of Dagon, but it was the voice of the Lord. God will come to you in a form that you recognize. God will come to you despite the situation that you're in. God showed his face in their God. He revealed himself through an image that they thought was God. And what they did was, God exposed their false God so that they can see who the real God is. He exposed their idol so that they can have an experience with the one true God. I don't know how you view God, how you view God's imagination. It amazes me every time God steps outside of the box. So what I realized was the fish was never for Jonah. The fish was for Nineveh. We sometimes get trapped in circumstances, in problems, in situations that were never about us. What we went through, what we've gone through, what we've experienced may not be about us. It may be about someone else or something else or a group. What we experienced was for somebody else. There are times where we are called to intercede for someone else. And when we fall into a seat of intercession, we experience things that may seem hurtful or harmful or tough, but we're going through that thing so that someone else can see God for themselves. The fish god was called Dagon. Dagon was exposed as a false god. But in order for God to expose the fish god as an idol that did not exist, Jonah had to go through something. So Jonah had to get trapped so that they can see the one true God. I'm going to say this one more time. Jonah had to get trapped in a fish for someone else to see who the one true God is. And a lot of times we as believers resent the experience, because we don't understand that we have to go through for someone else. So we are mad at the experience and never understand that God chose us to do something or to deal with something or to walk through something so that we can be a light that someone else sees. And we call ourselves a child of God. We call ourselves and we tell ourselves that we want to be used by God until we actually get used. And then when we get used by God, we're upset at the way we're being used. You do not get to pick your calling. I'm going to say that for somebody else who needs to hear it. You do not get to pick how you want to be called. You don't get to pick your job. I know everybody else, they look, in this world, they look through online services to try to find a job. They check out, what fits them, what fits their tools, what fits their abilities, what fits their knowledge, and they try to go for a job that fits who they think they are. But I'm telling y'all, you don't get to pick who God calls you to be. God picks. So if God says, hey, I need you to go through a fish for 3 days and three nights so that you can save an entire city, you're on a job. Man up. Time to go to work. And some of us resent the fact that we were called to a circumstance that may have bothered us, that may have hurt us, that may have caused us to struggle. And that struggle was necessary for someone else. Here we are, Jonah, we be by faith. But let's see what he does. I'm going to show you, and I only got a few minutes, and I want to show you what he does when this entire city gets saved. Let's look at Jonah 4. Jonah 4, we're going to read the entire chapter of Jonah 4, and we're going to start at verse 1, and it says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil." What he was saying was, I knew you were going to save them. That's why I didn't want to go. I want you to be honest with you. How many of you have not told someone about the goodness of the Lord, has not tried to share a message of salvation with someone because you're upset that the thing or them may have hurt you, so you don't deliver what God called you to do? Because you know they won't get saved. You know they won't get it right. The person that abused you, the person that hurt you, the person that broke your heart, how many of you can honestly say you went back and told them about the goodness of the Lord, and you told them about how God sets you free and God delivers you, and God, if you repent, God will make you a new person? How many of us have truly done that? How many of us can honestly say we can do that? How many of you can go back to the church that hurt you and serve? Everybody crying, church hurts. I don't want to go back to that church because the church is this. Let me tell you something. The club gets shot up every weekend. Somebody gets shot in the club every weekend. And I don't hear too many people saying, I don't want to go back to the club. No, they just found a new club. So why is it when you have a bad experience at church, all of a sudden all churches are bad? Find a church that fits you. And guess what? If there's a problem in your church, why don't you be the person that's called to fix the problem? If God exposed a problem within the church that you worship, instead of running away from it and being mad because it affected you, why don't you be the change that church needs? Everybody crying, church hurt, but nobody want to fix the problem. If you're called to be the light of the world, that includes the church as well. My entire premise of this show is the healing hour. The body heals itself. If we are the body of Christ, we are called to heal each other. We don't always have it together. The idea of church, the idea of coming together as one flesh, as one body, is not always easy, and we don't have it all together. So instead of complaining, why don't you do something about it? So here we are. Jonah is complaining. I told you I didn't want to go there because I knew that you were going to save them. Yes, you talked about judgment. Yes, you talked about destroying their land. But as soon as you told them that you were going to destroy them, instead of walking away in fear, waiting for the penalty, they decided to repent. And guess what? God says, I'm good and I'm faithful and I'm just. And if you decide to repent, I'll forgive you of your sin and I will bring you back to the fold. God didn't do anything that wasn't in his word. He said he was going to deliver judgment. They repented. He forgave them. He set them on the right path. Why would you not want God to do something for someone else that he's done for you? Is your pain or your experience so bad that you would not want the same deliverance for someone else that was given to you? So you get to decide on the gift of Jesus Christ. So you decide who gets God and who doesn't. Let's go back to the word. Verse 3 says, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? In other words, Jonah said, I'd rather die than see them win. I'd rather die than see them saved. And God says, does it profit you anything to be angry? Some of us are so mad at what happened to us in our past that we'd rather die than see the person who hurt us get right. See the circumstance of the church that hurt us get right. We'd rather die than see them get it together. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow so he might see what would become of the city. Guess what, y'all? He was still mad. He was still angry. And he was still waiting for God to carry out his judgment, even though he knew that God set them up so that they can repent and move forward. He was still waiting for their penalty. He was still waiting. So what he did was, he did not want God to be a redeemer. He wanted God to be an assassin. And a lot of you do the same exact thing. And I'm going to show you how. Everybody gets real petty and they start talking about, God don't like ugly. Touch not my anointing and do my prophet no harm. If you do something to me, God got it. He's going to get you worse than what you got me. We start saying things like that. And what we don't understand is that we're calling God to an assassination instead of a point of repentance. So instead of praying that the person who hurt us repents and gets their life together, we're praying that God gets them. So is God your assassin or is God your redeemer? I know I'm not talking to anybody on this line. I know everybody on this line doesn't do stuff like that. I'm quite sure that everybody has it together and they want to see even the people that hurt us flourish, because the Bible says, guess what? Even a bad man can do good for his own children. And it says, bless those who despitefully use us. How many of us are blessing those who hurt us? That's a tough pill to swallow, but I'm telling you, that's the word. I can't do nothing about that. Can you bless the person that hurt you? So here we go. And in verse 6, verse 6. And the Lord God prepared a gourd. A gourd is a tall leafy plant. And he said, and he prepared a gourd, and it made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, and the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, and he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. I want you guys to stop right there real quick. I want you to see something. Jonah, God gave Jonah shade and comfort. And he was trying to see if he would be pleased with the comfort. So the next thing, God took the comfort away. And Jonah was so upset about his comfort being taken away that he wanted to die. And the next thing in the word, it says in verse 9, and God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. What God is saying is, you felt so bad for what you never created. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. He was so upset about what he never invested in, what he never created. Some of us are so upset over a circumstance that we never created. We're so mad at a person that we have never created. And God is saying, if I created them and I took them away, why are you mad? If I took your comfort away, if I took your peace away, you never created that comfort, you never created that peace, why are you mad if I decide to do something with it? And some of us are so selfish and we hold on to everything that we think is ours that we don't understand that everything we have is God's. So when God decides to take it away and we're still mad, we're still stuck on what God decided to take away. So what we do is we become and we take on a fish experience when God promised us Nineveh. The fish was for them. Why are we still mad about the fish? God promised us Nineveh. We're mad about a fish experience when God promised us a city. God promised us so much more than what we went through. But we're mad about what we went through instead of acknowledging that he gave us more. God gave Nineveh to Jonah. He saved an entire city. I don't know nobody in Philadelphia that has saved an entire city. You're talking about one man who preached to an entire nation and everybody got saved. And you mean to tell me he's still mad about what he had to go through? You won. Instead of us, some of us have won. But because we're mad about what we had to go through, we are not willing to accept what God has given us anew. Right now is time. It is time for the call to salvation. It is time to offer someone who is listening Jesus Christ. And I just want you to understand something, because I'm going to get to the point of my message. And if there's any callers on the line, I would love for you to just press pound 1 and just call right in. And in the last 15 minutes, I can answer questions and I can talk to you, and we can really get in the mix and in depth of this conversation. But right now, whoever's listening, you might be having a fish experience, or you may be on the other side and you're waiting for God to expose himself to you. So what I ask you is if you want God, are you willing to accept him? Because if you're willing to accept it, then there's a few things that you got to do. If nothing big, we have to confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ died and rose for our sins. So right now, if you are listening, what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to first, I want you to, you have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And when he died for your sins, not only did he die, but he rose. Then you have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you want him to be Lord over your life. And when you decide that he is Lord over your life, you ask him to come into your heart and save you. You understand that his death and resurrection, and you understand that he is the one true God and he is Lord over our lives, and you want him to come into your heart and save you. If you made that decision right now, I'm telling you, sparks might not fly out of the air. There might not be this big bang. But what your declaration has done, it has caused heaven to celebrate. The Bible says when one person decides to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, heaven throws a party. Like right now, if you decided that you are saved by grace through faith, if you decide that Jesus Christ is Lord over your life, heaven is throwing a party. So right now, I'm going to pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you cover those who have decided to have you as their Savior, to have you as their personal Savior. God, you begin to bless them. You begin to cover them. You begin to mature them, develop them, show them your face, even in the midst of darkness, and break away those things that are not like you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, let's get back on topic. And I really want to go to, back to this whole Jonah experience, because I want to show you what the problem with Jonah was. Remember, in the beginning of the conversation, I talked about idol worship. And I said that we should not have any God before the God that we serve. Well, guess what? Jonah also had a problem with idols. And a lot of people say, well, what do you mean? What do you mean that he had a problem with idols? Jonah allowed pain to be his God. He served his pain. He was so willing to serve his experience and all the things that he went through that he ignored the opportunity to help develop new believers in Christ because of what they did to him. So his experience, his pain, was bigger than his God. Thou should have no other gods before me, thou should not serve them. For I am a jealous God. And Jonah put his pain over his God, even to the point where he wanted to take his own life. Now watch this. Nineveh repented. As we find out in the Bible, Jonah died, but it was never recorded that Jonah repented. And I want to tell somebody that it is a thin line between being the victor and the villain. It is a thin line between the victim and the villain. And I want to ask somebody out there, how long are you going to play the villain? Because at one point, you were the victim, and you used your victimization to become the villain. If you've been out of church for years talking about what the church did for you, and you never went back to have a real experience with the house of God, maybe you need to check and see, are you the victim? Are you the villain? If you've never talked to that family member that hurt you, and never tried to reconcile, and never tried to show the goodness of the Lord, and never tried to bless those who despitefully use you, I want to ask you, are you being the victim or the villain? Because there's a very thin line between both of them. And you have to check yourself and make sure you don't die a villain. Nineveh repented. And let me tell you a little secret. Some of us don't tell others who may have affected us about God, not just because you're afraid they're going to get it right, because maybe you don't want them to get it right. Because if they get it right, then that means you have to change. And you're not willing to take the necessary steps to change. Be mindful of who we are. Don't you dare cross that line of being the villain. Because you can easily go from being the villain, the victor, the victim, to being the villain. It's easy. So when you decide that you're going to shut your yourself off, and you're going to separate yourself off from the people of God, and you're going to separate yourself even from the people who don't know God. And you're going to separate and distance yourself from the people that hurt you, and you never decide to offer them Jesus Christ, because we were called to give Jesus to all the nations, to everyone, not the people who make us feel good, not the people who we don't know, but to everyone. And if you're not willing to make that sacrifice, ask yourself, are you really a child of God? I believe you did with this one point. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The next scripture says that Jesus Christ came not to condemn the world, but through his death, the world might be saved. Jesus Christ did not die for your guarantee. He died for your possibility. So whether you believed in him or not, he died. So even if only a few receive him, he still died for the many who didn't. And the Bible also tells us to take up our cross daily. And if you're not willing to die for the masses only to save a few, maybe you're not willing, you're not ready to pick up your cross. And we have to evaluate ourselves. Are we really who we say we are? Because Christ was willing to sacrifice himself even to the people who hurt him. And if we say that we are representation of Christ, we are like Christ, then we have to take on the mindset of Christ. I want to leave you with this prayer. I have a couple of callers on the line. And here, it is 3 minutes before we go to until we end the show, so we may have to go to archives. I'm saying this right now. There's 3 minutes before the end of the show, so we may. I just got a text that says we have 19 callers. All right, caller, bring somebody in, Brother Rob. Let's talk. Hello. God bless you. Who am I speaking with? Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. I can hear you good. Talk to me.
Good. Thank you. Right. You know, it's amazing what you discussed regarding the victim. By the way, you know, yes, I do believe in being saved is the way to go. And some of us really never left the fold, I think. What it is, we just had to find our ways to re-enter, you know, the good graces of God. And as a result, you know, being saved is more than just not going against your judgment, but being saved is more than just announcing it. Being saved is more so trying to walk the walk and talk the talk. And it's nice to know that there are some people who like to be there to always reaffirm that, you know, why we need to remain saved, and why we need to go into it for whatever the right reasons would be. So I thought that was wonderful that you reaffirmed that. But also I wanted to say about the victims and the persons who are just people who are, I forgot the
villains.
Other words, the other
villains.
Villains,
yeah.
Right. You know, as you feel your way through life, you also have to keep in mind that you need guidance yourself sometime and making sure that you don't step over the line of, you know, the negative side of things by just using good judgment and hope that if anybody can guide you in that direction, no matter what your age, and help you stay focused and on the right path, they will be your allies and not your enemy. So with that being said, hopefully people can learn how to get through life and keep God in their heart the whole time that they do that by just feeling their way towards what they should do that's right. And and for the right reasons. So I just wanted to add that, if you don't mind.
Sure. May I ask your name?
Yes, I'm Antonia Batts, and my show is Peripheral Vision every third Sunday evening of each month at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Amen.
It's called Peripheral Vision.
All right, Ms. Bass, you know, I've been trying to get a hold of you for a little while now. I've really been trying to connect with you for a little while now, and I was praying that God would get you to call in. And, you know, God has already been, you know, speaking with me about you and really, you know, really dealing with me, and I believe that was it yesterday? I was fasting, and you were one of the people that I was fasting for, really just standing in the gap, and God showed me that there are some things that you are hurting about, there are some things that you are conflicted about, and you are trying to figure out your next step, and every time you decide to step, the pain gets in the way, and the pain decides to, you know, redirect your path, and sometimes there are situations that pop up as soon as you're ready to go, and now you're like, well, see, this is why I didn't move yet. But,
well, that's interesting. Go ahead, please.
But here's what I'm going to tell you. The Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. What I'm going to tell you is that every valley doesn't have light, and every valley isn't going to be clear. And you have to be willing to thread through darkness to get to light. And every experience may be exposed, and you may not be comfortable with that, with being exposed. You may not be comfortable about being in the light, or just being visible in your transitions. But God is with you. And I just want, you know, it may feel indifferent right now. You may have your own personal opinion right now, but I just want you to search your heart, and I want you to see where God has you, and I want you to just examine, are you really taking all the steps that are needed to move forward? And if you don't know your move, ask someone. I'm pretty sure you have a lot of people around you who are willing to walk with you. But I'm asking you just to evaluate where you are and why you are where you are. All right? And I bless God for you.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. I just wanted to say.
Go ahead, dear.
But in response to what you're saying, now, personally, my personal life is pretty legitimate. I have no major qualms about anything. I may, you know, observe some things that I see that go on out in the world overall, not just here in the United States or here in my neighborhood. And I may share some of the perceptions that I see. So as a result, you know, I just share information at times. But truthfully, my personal life, because I'm mature enough to disseminate, obviously, right from wrong, and make sure that I stay focused for what I have to accomplish in life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that, but I thank you for your prayers. So I do have to make baby steps towards some other newfound subjects, at least I think I'm pretty much there. But I can always use prayer just like the next person, and I thank you very much.
All right, next caller, are you with me? All right, is there someone else, Brother Rob? You can send them right on in. All right. If that's it, we can definitely move forward. God bless you. I thank everybody for being on the Healing Hour and just, you know, having this personal experience. The time did go over. a little bit, and I believe God has served his purpose. The word of God has went through. If there's nobody else to get on the line, I believe let's send in Pastor Toy.
Actually, I was coming real quick just to give a quick announcement. And let's not forget, tomorrow's going to be our 1,000th episode. That's going to be starting at 9 p.m. tomorrow evening. We thank each and every one of you for joining us, whether you're joining us via phone or online. We thank you so much for your support, and we hope to see you. Guys, one God's blessing tomorrow evening.
All right. Bless God. I hope you heard all the announcement. I want you to listen tomorrow because tomorrow's our 1,000th episode. That's a big deal. And I want you to celebrate with us as we celebrate our 1,000th episode. All right, Brother Rob, that's it? All right, talk back to me. We are definitely closing out, and we thank God for you listening to the Healing Hour. I pray that God blesses you, God heals you, and God's begin to move through your life. And let's not forget the word of the Lord on this evening. God bless you.
Jesus bled.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.